Brethren, it is a tremendous blessing when God chooses to call a human being. When he chose you and he chose me, it's a tremendous blessing that occurs. When God calls us, he begins to teach us through teachings. We describe this as being taught the truth from God. We can look in the scriptures where the truth is talked about. The Bible also describes this teaching as doctrine. Doctrine, on the other hand, is not a familiar term that we hear every day in this day and age. We hear truth, but doctrine, not so much. Some may ask, well, what is doctrine? Jesus' teachings formed the foundation of the doctrine of the early church. Those teachings came from the Father. They were handed to Jesus Christ to deliver to human beings. He did that in two manners that I feel. He came as the Word. He was the Word in the Old Testament, worked with human beings, and he taught human beings at that time God's doctrine. And many of those writers wrote down those teachings within the Old Testament. He also came as a human being in the New Testament to deliver in person those teachings that he was delivering from his Father to human beings. And many of them were used to write down scriptures in the New Testament. These teachings formed the foundation of the doctrine of the early church and for us today. True doctrine comes directly from God the Father through Jesus Christ, and now for us through God's Word. It's not a matter of personal opinion. All of us, egotistical human beings, we got to set aside our egos, because our opinions doesn't matter when it comes to God's doctrine. God has recorded in the Bible, it's the unequaled authority of God. The Bible is the unequaled authority of God. It is God's Word. Biblical doctrine does not change over time. We know that. God's truth is the truth. It will always be the truth. Now, us human beings, as we begin to study God's Word, we begin to put pieces of the puzzle together, and we begin to learn more detail of God's truth in a given area. But the given area doesn't change. That truth is always there. We just begin to learn more detail of it. God has provided for the church this doctrine as a solid foundation for each one of us to build upon. God has provided a sound doctrine as a foundation in our beliefs. We begin to believe and apply different things into our life. Maturity begins, development begins, and what is produced? Conviction. We begin to be convicted that this is God's truth, that this is God's teachings, that this is God's doctrine. If we're asked to lay down our life in the future, we must be convicted that this is true. We're willing to lay down our life for it. So, in a short definition of doctrine, it is the teachings of God delivered to human beings. God's teachings, God's truth that is delivered to human beings. Today I would like to focus our attention on God's doctrine that has been delivered to us. We will see the importance of this doctrine. And many of you are old timers, nothing new. But we need to be refreshed in this, to stay on top of it, to see how much more we can eat of this doctrine. We will see the importance to live our life by this. So if you'd like a title, the title is simply The Importance of Doctrine. The Importance of Doctrine. If you look at a worldly dictionary, you will see doctrine being defined in this way, as a particular principle taught or advocated. A doctrine is simply something that is taught or advocated. So doctrine in a broad sense could be any teaching or a belief that is taught by anyone. And obviously, that's not what we're interested in today's sermon, because we're interested in what God's doctrine is. But what is important to us is to determine what is the biblical definition of how God uses this doctrine. In the New Testament, the Greek word didache, which is spelled D-I-D-A-C-H-E, means the act of teaching. The act of teaching. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. I'd like to go through a couple of verses showing where this Greek word didache is used and how it's being used in the Bible. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read here in verse 2. It says, "Then he," Jesus, "taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching." This word teaching is this didache. It is his teaching to the brethren at that time. And then it went on, and starting in verse 3, what he taught. But this word here, teaching, is this Greek word didache. In the Bible, doctrine is the teachings of Jesus, or of the Word back in the Old Testament that was delivered by the Father. He was simply relaying God's teachings to human beings right here in this verse. This is an example where he was doing that. Let's go now to 2 John chapter 1, and there's only one chapter there. So 2 John here we're going to see very specific instruction about this doctrine that Jesus delivered from his Father. Talking about this didache. 2 John chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 9. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ," or in the didache of Christ, or in the teachings of Christ, "does not have God." Why? Because Jesus was delivering the teachings from God. So if you don't abide in these teachings or in Christ's doctrine, then you do not have God. "He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him." Now, Mr. Martin just talked about friends, some outside the church. Does that mean we can't have anybody outside the church? We can't invite them into your house? Is that what this means? No, I think what he is saying here, you don't invite somebody in your house that is trying to teach you something different that is not of God's doctrine. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Let's read another verse where this didache is being used, this doctrine, this teachings. Mark chapter 11, and let's begin reading in verse 17. It says, "Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves." And we know that they were doing things within the temple that was not according to God's way. Verse 18, "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him," how they might destroy Jesus. "For they feared him." Why? "Because all the people were astonished at his teaching," his didache, his doctrine, the teachings that he was delivering from the Father. They were different. They weren't like the rest of the worldly teachings that they were typically hearing at that time. Now, let's go to John chapter 18. Another example of this word, didache, was just one verse, John chapter 18, and let's read here in verse 19. It says, "The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine," and his didache, his teachings. They were different, as we had mentioned. We can also turn to the scriptures where the apostles were teaching Christ's doctrine as they carried it on. This doctrine was delivered from the Father to Jesus, or the Word. The Word delivered it to those in the Old Testament. Jesus himself, as a human being, delivered to the New Testament. Here we're going to see an example in the New Testament where his disciples then took this didache and they began to teach it. It began to be their doctrine, their teaching. Let's read here in Acts chapter 2. Just seeing examples of how this word is being used within the Bible. Acts chapter 2, this is where the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. Peter was giving a sermon. We know that many were cut to heart. What did they say? You need to be baptized, you need to repent, be baptized, and so forth. Then I want to begin in verse 40. Acts 2, beginning in verse 40. "And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word," Peter's word, "were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." In the apostles' didache. It was delivered from the Father to Jesus, Jesus to the apostles. Now it's being used here as the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, and fellowship in the breaking of bread. Now, for another one, let's go to Acts 5, over just a page. Acts chapter 5, and let's begin reading here in verse 24. It says, "Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be." And here's where the men were teaching God's didache, his doctrine, his teachings. They were thrown into prison, and the angels came and released them. But it says now here in verse 24, "When the high priest and the captain of the temple, the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. Then one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.'" What were they teaching the people? Verse 26, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned." Verse 27, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?'" Not in Jesus' name. "And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So here, once again, in verse 28, this doctrine was the apostles. The apostles were teaching this information, this truth that was delivered to them from Christ. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 16. We begin to see this word used a little differently. Jesus here introduces this word didache, this doctrine, with false doctrine, wrong teaching, teaching that is not coming from the Father. Let's read here. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. says, then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So here Jesus was beginning to warn them about the spiritual false doctrine that these Pharisees and Sadducees was teaching, but they didn't understand what he was saying at first. In verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves, they were talking among themselves, it is because we have taken no bread. It's because we didn't bring physical bread here that Jesus said this about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 8, but when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread or no physical bread? Verse 9, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? Don't you remember the example? I can make bread, physical bread, as much as I want. That's not what I'm talking about here. Verse 11, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning physical bread, but you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, of physical bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The didache of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So here we see this Greek word being used because it means teachings. It can be abused. It can be used in a false manner when someone begins to teach their own opinion or their own beliefs rather than teaching what was handed down to you from God, which was God's doctrine. Now let's go to John chapter 7. Here Jesus was directly teaching about the difference between God's doctrine and false doctrine. God's didache and false didache. These Greek words being used. John 7, beginning in verse 14. It says, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. He was teaching. He was always in a mode of teaching. Verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? He hasn't been with us. He hasn't gone through any organized training on what these scriptures mean. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, my didache, is not mine, but his who sent me. So he made it very clear that this doctrine or this teaching is God the Father's. It came from God the Father. Verse 17, if anyone wants to do his will, wants to do the Father's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, the teachings, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So here Christ begins to teach about the difference. Is this coming from God's doctrine, or Jesus was saying, is this my own? Am I just doing my own thing? You need to know the difference. He's telling us we need to know the difference between God's doctrine and false doctrine. It's extremely important. Verse 18, he who speaks from himself or teaches his own opinion or doesn't teach God's doctrine, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So we see here where Jesus is teaching that we as his brethren, need to know the difference. We need to know what God's doctrine is. We need to study. We need to know what it is, and we need to know what is false when it begins to be taught. Many of us have had to go through this. In our first organization, back in the 90s, all of us that were there then, we were forced to decide whether we were going to hold to true doctrine or false doctrine. We had to make a stand. That's what God is saying here. We need to know the difference. When something comes in false, we need to discern and know the difference between God's doctrine and false. Let's now look at a very clear instruction from the Apostle Paul instructing Timothy about God's doctrine. Here, an older minister about to die, that being Paul, and we can read a lot about the life of Paul, all that he went through. He started out chasing and putting brethren into prison, killing them. But then he was called, and his life changed. He began to be taught this didache, and he lived a life teaching it. He was beaten for it. He was stoned. He thought he was dead. They stoned him to the point that the people thought he was dead. He was put into prison. This man had experience. And here he was at the end of his life, pouring his life out to Timothy. Timothy was a younger minister. These words have been recorded for you and me. These words must come alive to us individually. We aren't ministers. All of us are not ministers. I am not a minister. But these words that Paul is telling Timothy must hit us between our eyes. Here an older minister was training and exhorting this younger minister. These words are to train you, to exhort you. Train me to exhort me. Paul recognized the potential danger of doctrinal corruption and instructed Timothy to guard against it. So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to take time and read through quite a bit of scriptures in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy to give you an idea of what Paul was talking about, this didache, about this doctrine that he was talking to Timothy about, that he's talking to you and me about now as we read it. Let's begin to see what Paul was saying. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and begin in verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith." Brethren, we've seen that. I have personally seen it, and so have you. We have personally seen some depart from the faith that was a part of us. Giving heed, they gave heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, teachings of demons. They followed false doctrine and was led astray, he's saying. That's going to happen in latter days, in our day today, and we've seen it already, and we're going to see it in our future as well. Verse 2, speaking the lies in hypocrisy, these doctrines of demons were preaching, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from the foods, the spiritual food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. True doctrine, true teachings were meant by God for us to consume. Here he's saying these individuals were forbidding people from eating God's true doctrine. Verse 4, keep in mind, this is Paul's instruction to Timothy. For every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is set apart by the word of God in prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Here this older minister was pushing Timothy. He was exhorting Timothy that he needed to do a certain, to be in a certain manner. He was instructing him to keep that going forward. Now let's go to verse 13. Paul says, "Till I come, give attention to reading from the scriptures, to exhortation, to exhort the brethren, to doctrine." He said, pay attention to this doctrine, to God's doctrine. You need to spend time with that. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. A true minister, a young Timothy, as he continued, if he would be faithful and continue to teach this doctrine, he would not only save himself, but he would save those who would listen to him. Brethren, we talk to each other. We talk to others. Do we have this sound doctrine, this good doctrine, soundly within us so that we will save ourselves? And maybe if we're a good example to somebody or somebody listens to what we say, maybe we can help save someone else. We are in that boat as well. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, Paul continues with young Timothy. He says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Respect them. They need respect for the duty in which they are striving to do. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise, what's Paul telling him? What's he beginning to tell Timothy? If someone begins to teach false doctrine, false teachings, Timothy, this is what you need to do. If anyone teaches otherwise, teaches false doctrine, and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. Someone that goes off in false doctrine is going to be proud. They're going to be arrogant. They're going to lift up themselves. Their own opinion is very important. He will be proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes. He wants to argue all the time. With disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions. The fruit that is coming from this type of person will be these things: envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. They don't have the truth. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. What's the instruction to Timothy? From such withdraw yourself. And brethren, as hard as it was back in the 90s, I remember when we left Worldwide, we had to leave friends. Friends like Mr. Martin talked about that we grew up with. Why did we have to leave? Right here, what Paul was warning Timothy. If someone comes and teaches false doctrine, withdraw yourself. And that's what we did. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. Paul continues in this second letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. He said, Timothy, I'm praying for you night and day. Verse 4. greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with your joy. They had a friendship between them. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Brethren, good doctrine, sound doctrine being passed down through generations to get to this young Timothy. Got to pat Lois on the back, pat Eunice on the back. They saved themselves, but they also helped to save others in their family. Verse 6. Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul must have been the one that baptized him and laid hands on him for God's Spirit to be given. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, because of this, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, the teachings of our Lord, the doctrine of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of me, of my teachings, that I've continued on doing my job that Christ gave to me. But share with me, young Timothy, in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. If you share with me teaching these doctrines, you're going to suffer. But I'm asking you to share these sufferings with me. He's asking all of us to do the same. To be willing to go through suffering, to hold on to this true doctrine, this testimony of our Lord. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through the teachings that he delivered to human beings. To which I was appointed a preacher, Paul says, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Down to verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. These sound words of doctrine, of God's teachings in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. Brethren, how well, individually, are we holding fast the pattern of sound words? How important is this doctrine of God that has been handed to us? That good thing which was committed to you, it says, keep it by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Hear this older minister pushing the younger minister. You got to pat Paul on the back. All that he's been through, he's ready to die. He's still pushing. He's still pushing younger ones, the next generation, to continue on. It has to continue. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me, this doctrine, among many witnesses, commit this doctrine, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The next generation. Lois passed it down to Eunice. Eunice passed it down to Timothy. Paul here is pushing, exhorting Timothy. Hey, you have to keep pushing it to the next generation. You have to find faithful men to teach these words to, so that they will teach others also to continue it from generation to generation. Paul saw this doctrine as important, and so should we. Going over to verse 7. Consider what I say, Timothy. Or you might place your name there. Consider what Paul is saying to me and to you. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. To understand in more detail this doctrine. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. I was thrown into prison for teaching this truth. But the word of God is not chained. No one's going to hold back God's doctrine from being taught. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Let's stop there and say that again. Paul wasn't worried about himself as an older minister about to die. Where was his mind? Where was his thoughts? Verse 10, therefore I endure all things, all these sufferings, for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the brethren, trying to help them be saved, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Is our mind, is our thoughts, are trying to help teach the next generation, the young ones that are sitting here in the room, our children? How important is it to pass the sound and good doctrine that come from the Father down through Christ to us as human beings? How important is it that we pass it to the next generation so it can be taught and continue till Jesus Christ return? 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Paul telling Timothy, remind them of these things, charging them, exhorting them earnestly before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Know the difference between good doctrine and false. Don't sit there and be arguing about our own opinions. It's hurting the people who are listening to our arguments and to our opinions. Don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, those who are listening. The next generation could be listening and take it wrongly. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly using the truth and the doctrine, the didache, that has been handed to you to protect. Not only to protect, but to apply in our life to save ourselves, but also to those around us so that we can try to help save someone else. The brethren, the elect. Let's continue in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Paul continues to teach here. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. We see that today. Lovers of money, we see that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. We see lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. We see this in the world today. It's called a counterfeit that Satan is putting out there, the doctrine of demons, to do what? Trip us up. Help us be attracted to the world, be attracted to the lust of the flesh, or a different direction than the sound doctrine that God is teaching us. He says here, giving this instruction to Timothy to turn away from these people. To turn away. Don't get caught up in it. Then verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. Is Paul being arrogant when he said, my doctrine? No. It was his doctrine. It was his teaching. It became his life. But he was passing it on, what he was taught from Jesus. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. You've carefully followed the manner of my life. Carefully followed my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance. You carefully followed through and saw my persecutions, my afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, Timothy, all of these the Lord delivered me. That's what I want you to take away, Timothy. You've carefully followed me. You know what I've gone through. And I want you to know God has delivered me through every single one of them. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But he's saying, God will deliver us. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will go worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what we need to be prepared for. It's going to get worse, trying to deceive us. Verse 14, but as for you, Timothy, as for you, Mike Buchanan, you place your name in the spot. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. It's God's doctrine, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Through the Word, He handed it down to those writers of the Old Testament. As Jesus Christ, as a human being, He taught the apostles, who were writers of the New Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for sound teaching, for sound doctrine of God. It's there for reproof. The Bible will convict us when we are wrong in our life. Have you ever read a scripture in the Bible and God uses that scripture to convict you and you realize, wow, I am wrong? That's reproof. But then it goes on, it's also used for correction. Once we are convicted in a manner, the Bible can also be used to help correct us, to correct us back on a right path, a right way of thinking, back to the true and sound doctrine. It's also used for the instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here this old minister about to die is pouring his heart out to young Timothy, pushing him, pushing the next generation to continue on, pushing all of us to continue on. Then finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God. He's charging Timothy, but he's charging us. He's encouraging us earnestly. You therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Timothy, I expect you to preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince people of this doctrine. Rebuke those who go contrary. Exhort and encourage those of the next generation with all longsuffering and teaching. Verse 3, for the time's going to come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, away from God's doctrine, and be turned aside to fables. Fables is fabricated teaching, teaching that's made up because it doesn't come from God. Verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Hear this, I could just see this older, feeble man just pouring his heart out to young Timothy. Verse 6, Timothy, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So encouraging to see this older man not just sit there and quit. I've done my part. Man, this guy was going to the end, pushing you, pushing me, pushing this young Timothy, saying, hey, you got to be there for that next generation. All of us, a lot of gray heads here, or no hair. We got to be there for the next generation. We got to teach. We got to help the next generation know this pure and sound doctrine that has been handed to us by our Father to protect. We see Apostle Paul here pouring his life out for this purpose. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. With all this tremendous blessing that has been handed to us comes responsibility. The ugly word, responsibility. God warns us that we must live by his doctrine or else. Let's read it here. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus talking, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of my Father in heaven. Makes it very clear. We must follow God's doctrine in order to be a part of his family. He makes this very clear here. And he starts giving examples. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day when I return, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Man, I started my own church. I had all these opinions. I had all these ideas. I was doing this all for you. No, they were doing it for themselves. What's Christ's response to the people who do not hold on to the doctrine of God? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? You who practice lawlessness. People who their way of life is teaching false, living false, trying to sway the good brethren with the good teachings away. Christ doesn't have any use for them, he says. He doesn't know them. Verse 24, he goes on to give a further example to make sure everybody understands clearly what he's saying. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, these teachings of mine, this doctrine of mine, and does them, obeys them, lives by them, I will liken that individual to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the spiritual trials begin to come and start beating on us. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. It was found on the God's pure, sound doctrine. But then there's the opposite, verse 26. Now, everyone who hears these teachings of mine, this doctrine of mine, and does not do them, does not follow through, does not obey, does not apply it into their life all the way to the end, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. He makes it very clear, brethren. He's handing us a treasure in our hands. He's handing us this good and sound doctrine, this teaching. He wants us to apply it into our life, to believe it and love it with all of our being, to pass it on to the next generation so that we not only try to save ourselves, but we try to save others that's listening as well. The Bible is an instruction manual filled with God's teachings, His rules, His code of conduct. There's a way in which He expects us to live. It's very important that we search and study the Scriptures to submit to God's doctrine. Attempting to live part of our life on the rock and part of our life on the sand, we're making for a very unstable life for ourselves. A very unstable and tough life for ourselves, even if it's a mixture. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go back to another older man that was about to die. He was handing over these teachings to the next generation. Here Moses was not allowed to go over into the promised land. But the book of Deuteronomy is a rehearsal to the ancient Israelites of all that God is expecting of them. And I want to read a couple of verses of what Moses was passing on to the next generation. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 2. He says, "And you shall remember that the Eternal your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. He led you in order to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not." Do you feel that way at times? You know, am I going through this? You know, is God humbling me? Is He testing me? Is He seeing how I'm going to react in my heart? How am I doing? Verse 3, Moses continues. Verse 3, "So He humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone," not by physical bread alone, "but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Eternal." The words, the teachings, the didache, the doctrine that comes from the Father down through Christ, He delivered it to us as human beings. God is teaching us that nothing in this physical is important. It's temporary. What comes from God is what is important. God is making it extremely clear that we are to submit and live our life only by His teachings, only by His didache, His doctrine that's passed down all the way to us. Human beings, puny human beings like us, being treasured with such knowledge, teachings, truth, doctrine that can help us look spiritually beautiful in God's eyes. Absolutely amazing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, you don't have to turn there. It says, prove all things. Hold fast what is good. In order to prove all things, we need to study. We need to know what is God's true doctrine. We need to know it. When false doctrine comes, we will know that it is different, just as we did back in the 90s. We passed that test, thankfully. How many more tests will we have yet in our future? How many years is left in our 40 years of wilderness where God wants to know what's in our heart? Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Here we're going to read, if we believe God's teachings and apply it in our life, that He calls us His disciples. John 8, beginning in verse 30. It says, and He spoke these words, many believed. And as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That truth is what allows us to go into God's family. Applying it and abiding it in our life is our choice. It's your choice. It's my choice. It was Timothy's choice back then. We are God's children if we believe and obey God's doctrine, striving to apply it into our life. It's important for us to prove God's teachings. The church in modern day have taught many teachings that come from God's doctrine. They sort of divvy them up in different areas. Kagwa has done so in 20 foundational doctrines. I would encourage each of us to do in-depth studies. They give you a few scriptures with each, but do in-depth studies. Know what God's doctrine is. You can say, oh, I already know that. We need to be reinforced. We're about to go through probably some of the toughest times yet in our future. Not back in the 90s, but in our future. I'd encourage you to know what God's doctrine is. All of us need to be reinforced, to be strengthened by it. I'd like to go back now to 2 John chapter 1, final scripture. We read it earlier. Very, very important that we abide by it. 2 John, in verse 9, it says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, building your life on the sand, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine, who builds your life on the rock, the doctrine of Christ, has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Brethren, we live in a world where people's feelings are so important. That's all you hear. The way people feel. their feelings. You can't hurt somebody's feelings. You got to be careful what you say, because you're going to hurt someone's feelings. You don't hear about, hey, we need to make sure that we follow God's doctrine. You never hear that. God has made it very clear to us as His people that we must pay close attention to His doctrine, His didache. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the earth to teach all human beings His doctrine. Jesus' teachings formed the foundation of the doctrine for the early church. It's our foundation today, brethren. True doctrine is not about our personal opinion. We can just toss our personal opinion out the door. As hard as that is sometimes, because we're pretty smart sometimes, we think. I've been there plenty of times, and I speak from experience, let me tell you. I can just throw it out the door, because my opinion does not matter. True doctrine comes from the authority of God, through God's Word, the Bible. True biblical doctrine never changes over time. It's always the same. We can just begin to learn more details as we put the pieces of the puzzle together. Let's close today by striving to submit to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and live by God's doctrine. And I want to quote it as I close. This is Moses telling the next generation, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."